Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. I suppose, like many of us during this holiday season, I've been a bit nostalgic and thinking about things of the past. And for whatever reason, I was just thinking about and remembering how, when I was at St. Ben's, in my little dorm room, they were 8 feet by 10 feet, so you know, a mansion, right? For some reason, wanted a prayer corner in there. Even though there was a chapel down the hall, even though we weren't into church all the time, there was something in me that said that I needed a place in my room to pray. And so I took my little single bed and the little chest of drawers that they gave us and kind of put it by the door and then put the bed like this and blocked off a corner and put a little rug down there. And I would slip into that corner, almost like a pillow fort, but I didn't recognize that at the time. I'd slip into that corner to pray, and sometimes people would walk in my room and ask me something, and they couldn't find me. It was phenomenal. Now I just have a house to do that. But there was something in me, and I think it was from the Lord. I said, even though there's a chapel right down the hall, you need a place to bring prayer into where you lay your head. And I guess, somewhat moved by that and other things, I was thinking about the homilies I would preach after Christmas, and I had an idea and I didn't like it, so I threw it out. And I realized that as we've been talking about prayer, I haven't yet mentioned places to pray. Places to pray. Because we talk about sacred times, we talk about the holiday season, we talk about the liturgical calendar. But I realized, and maybe God put it on my heart, that I need to talk to you about and preach about finding places to pray. So that prayer is something that permeates our life. Permeates our life. Now, obviously, the chief place of prayer is here. You're in the presence of the Eucharistic Lord. You come here into this church. It's a place that we build, that we maintain, that we set apart explicitly so that you have a place to pray. And this is very good, right? And I want you to feel welcome here and realize that, of course, you know, on Sundays and holy days of obligation, you're obligated to come pray here. But I also find that it's a temptation that all of us face to equate prayer with the church building. And therefore, when we leave the church building, it's like we're taking prayer and putting it in the cabinet and going about our normal day. And that can't be. God is everywhere. Certainly, He's Eucharistically present here, and that's extremely important. But He's everywhere. And we need to learn to meet Him everywhere. And so today, I want to talk about praying where you lay your head. Praying at home. And I don't just mean, though these are certainly not unimportant, I don't just mean the blessing over meals and maybe a few prayers before you close your eyes at night. I mean real set aside time for prayer in your home. Which I think is important, because what I learned from that little corner in my room is that as I prayed in my room, my mind began to associate all the other things I do in my life with God. It began to associate homework with God. It began to associate recreation with God. It began to associate my friends with God. And I realized that He's not meant to be pigeonholed. And so I think it's important that we pray at home, not as a substitution for praying in church, but in addition to praying in church. And if you pray at home, what I also mean by that, especially this weekend, is unless you live alone like me, praying with your family. Praying with your family. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And it's easy to kind of just fantasize them away and forget that they're real people who had pretty hard lives. We hear that today in the gospel. People have lost jobs, people have lost homes, I know, and that's terrible, and I'm not saying that their suffering is worse or better, but I want you to think about the fact that Joseph, already compelled to leave Nazareth due to a decree of an invading empire, now from Bethlehem, where he's already basically homeless and jobless, is told, hey, by the way, that puppet king is about to kill your child, so bye. And he has to flee with his family to Egypt and live in Egypt for years before returning home. Then he tries to return to Bethlehem and realizes that the new king's worse than the first. Has to go back to Nazareth and find a place, maybe try to recreate his life. And yet, in the midst of all that, Joseph and Mary and Jesus prayed. They didn't have a Hallmark life. They didn't have a 50s sitcom life. They had a life that was messy. And yet, in the midst of all of it, they prayed. And they prayed as a family. They went to the temple, surely. Joseph went to synagogue, surely. But the Jewish religion has it that there's a lot of prayers that they had to do in their home, especially every Friday night. They would celebrate Shabbat, the beginning of the Sabbath, and they would have a dinner and prayers that they would pray. It's kind of like what Sunday dinner used to be for Christians. And they'd have morning prayers and night prayers, and they'd have prayers for different feasts. And I want you to think about what it was like in the Holy Family. That they prayed together, even on the road, even when they were homeless, that they prayed together as a family. We're going to set that as a model, and I want you to warn yourself away from the natural reaction, which is, they're perfect and I could never be like them, so I'm just going to give up. That's not how this works. In everything, we look at the people who do it the best, and then we try to get a little bit better ourselves. We don't just look at them and say, I'm done, right? And so, I don't think any of us will have families that pray like the Holy Family, but we can imagine, in a very concrete and grounded way, what their prayer life was like, and try to be a little bit better. And one important thing that I want to point out, and I know this is something that makes people uncomfortable, so please understand that I know your discomfort. But nevertheless, it's scriptural. One of the things that I want to point out is that the leader of prayer in the Holy Family is not the one you would expect. It wasn't Jesus, even though he's the Son of God made flesh. And it wasn't Mary, even though she's the Immaculate Virgin. It was Joseph. Because in Judaism and in the New Testament, the father of the family is the spiritual head of the family. It is the father's role to be the one who leads in prayer. And we see this, and I point this out to people, and I want you, it was revolutionary to me when I realized this. I want you to hear it. We see this exactly in how God treats Joseph. Joseph is the only person in the Holy Family who could ever be wrong or sin. And yet, from the moment that Joseph takes Mary into his home, we never hear of an angel talking to Mary ever again. Every angel talks to Joseph and tells him what to do with the Holy Family. God himself respected Joseph's role as being that spiritual leader, and we hear it today all over the gospel. Angels are appearing in Joseph's dreams. So Joseph took the lead, and Joseph would have taught Jesus the scriptures. Joseph would have led the prayers at Shabbat and at morning and evening. Joseph prayed. Now, I didn't mean that Mary just like gave up or anything. Obviously, she helped him and whatnot, but we forget that so often, I think, today. Because in many families, I know it's the mother who takes the spiritual lead and the father is kind of just dragged along. And that's not what Scripture lays out for us. But another thing that I want to say about the way that the Holy Family prayed that's very important for all of us to realize is that they made it concrete. But I don't want to, like, upset anybody here. Do you know what gets on my nerves to, like, the nth degree? Do you know what, like, reaches under my skin and claws me like a cat? Do you know what that is? When people say, send good thoughts or prayers, or send good vibes and prayers. Because in putting prayers in that category, you're making it sound like prayer is nothing more than a birthday wish when you blow out the candle. Instead of a real living relationship with the omnipotent God. Prayer is not just a thought, y'all. It's not a vibe. It's not a wish. It's a concrete relationship with the one who created heaven and earth and saved us. And so prayer has to be concrete. Certainly it's important that from time to time we just kind of direct a stray thought to God. But a relationship requires more than wishing. It requires something concrete. And the Holy Family had concrete times of prayer at temple and at synagogue, but also at home. And so I encourage you, and I know life is busy and I know things are burdensome, but I encourage you so strongly to find some way to make prayer at home concrete. I know my dad, when he was teaching me my prayers growing up, started to pray with me a little bit more at night, and we'd kneel next to my bed at night and we'd pray together for, it seemed like a good time to me. I know there are many families, my parents now have one, it helps that their son occasionally says Mass in their home, but many families have a little corner or a little table set aside as a prayer area to say this place belongs to God, to keep it always in our mind, to say, when I go to this place, I'm going to pray. I know many families, I don't know if it as many families as used to, but it is an incredible practice. I know many families pray a daily rosary together or pray some other kind of prayer for 10 to 15 minutes together. There was one family that I worked with when I was an associate pastor, and I'm not like recommending that you do exactly this because it's going to sound weird for me to recommend this, but I'm just telling you that the dad of that family made sure that every Sunday they had lunch together as a family, including the children who had moved out. They had to come back for Sunday dinner. And every Sunday, their dad forced them to go around the table and say something they had learned from the homily that weekend so that they could process it and discuss it. I know there are families who do extraordinary things as families, especially around food and decorations for the various different holidays, to make sure that it's something very concrete so that their child's name day, the patron saints, the different high feasts of the church are celebrated in a way that's concrete, that matters. Y'all, it's not my job to tell you exactly how to do it. It's just my job to tell you to do it. Pope St. John Paul II had this idea that was really something that mattered to him. He said, you know, we talk about the church at different levels. We talk about the universal church, and then we talk about the diocesan church run by the bishop, and then we talk about the parish church run by the pastor. He said, but you know, the church exists at an even smaller level, inside the homes of Christians. And he called that the domestic church. The domestic church. The life of faith that we live in the church doesn't just belong in Rome, and it doesn't just belong at St. John's in Lafayette, and it doesn't just belong in the walls of Our Lady of Lourdes. It belongs in your home too. And so this weekend, dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to look at the Holy Family, to consider the Holy Family, to ask the intercession of the Holy Family, so that prayer can be something that permeates your home, so that prayer can be something that's habitual in your family, so that prayer can be something that seeps into every part of your life. Because God is everywhere, and we can't ignore him everywhere outside of this building. God bless you all.